Good morning. This is today. It's Monday, the 23rd of September, 1963. First off, here's Frank Blair, and he has all the news.
Thanks, Hugh, and good morning, everyone. President Kennedy spends the day in important meetings. First, a vital one on Vietnam. He meets with Defense Secretary McNamara and General Maxwell Taylor, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He'll give them final instructions before Taylor and McNamara fly to Vietnam for a week of on-the-spot inspections. Their mission to find out if the Diem regime's anti-Buddhist campaign has hurt the war effort against the communists. U.S. missions in Vietnam do not agree on what's going on or what should be done. McNamara and Taylor will try to size up the military situation. Undoubtedly, they'll also bring back an assessment of the political situation. They'll be busy. One official says there won't be any black tie dinners, and they fly out to Saigon right after their White House briefing. Also calling at the White House will be two groups of white Alabama leaders. First, five civic officials named by Birmingham Mayor Albert Boutwell. They'll give their side of the racial trouble that took six lives recently. And then come six white religious leaders from Birmingham. They'll give the president their ideas on how to restore racial peace and will listen to his. Still later this evening, the president confers with former West Point football coach Earl Blake and ex-Army Secretary Kenneth Royal, who are his personal representatives to Birmingham. They are expected to depart for Birmingham tomorrow to work for a restoration of racial peace in that city. The White House talks follow yesterday's demonstrations in a score of cities held to mourn the death of four girls killed in the Birmingham church bombing. In the Capitol, 10,000 marched, then gathered in Lafayette Park across from the White House for an hour of hymns and prayer. There was grief. These scenes were duplicated in many other major cities. In Washington, however, there was a flurry of racism present. A dozen American Nazi Party stormtroopers led by George Rockwell picketed the White House. Police dispersed the Nazis when Negroes threatened to counter-picket. In New York's Foley Square, another 10,000 gathered. Some Negroes have suggested a boycott of Christmas gift buying to wake up the nation to their importance. NBC's Robert Teague talked to one of the originators of the idea, writer Louis Lomax.
Mr. Lomax, in pressing for this Christmas boycott, have you considered the possibility that it could cause serious damage to the nation's economy?
Yes, we have, Bob. In fact, we've done some calculation. The Negro spends about $20 billion a year. It's estimated he spends about $5 billion of that between December 1st and January 1st, and this is exactly what we want to happen. That is to put about a $3 billion nick in this nation's economy. And maybe this will give them the message. Maybe the captains of industry, the men who sell toy trains and airplanes and go-karts and scooters and bicycles will realize that they cannot make money in a society and not take some of the moral responsibility for what goes into it. Yes, we realize it, and this is exactly why we are doing it.
Czechoslovakian communist boss Antonin Novotny, one of the last Stalinists, may have purged his regime to save himself. Novotny got rid of Premier Sirokin and six top ministers. He named a new premier, Joseph Lenart, a liberal. Experts on communism feel the pro-Khrushchev elements in the Czech Communist Party were ready to oust Novotny. Now the party chief in Prague says he's in complete agreement with Khrushchev and backs him in the dispute with China. Novotny's purge of the Stalinists also gave him the opportunity to lay the blame for Czechoslovakia's economic troubles on them. Poland's Cardinal Wyszyński, who will visit the United States, is again talking up to the communist regime. He leaves for the reopening of the Ecumenical Council this week. In one of his last sermons, the Polish primate said, "Respect for the rights of man is more important than the state's plans for industrialization." No date has been set for Cardinal Wyszyński's visit here. He'll be in Rome until December. In Rome, Catholic prelates are discussing Pope Paul's proposal to reform the Curia and share power with the bishops. The Pope said the Curia, the central administrative body of the church, will be reorganized, suggesting that its predominantly Italian makeup should be changed to include other nationalities. In addition, some bishops would become direct advisors to the pontiff, bypassing the Curia. The Ecumenical Council takes up its work again next Sunday. Secretary of State Dean Rusk will be as busy with meetings today as the president. Rusk is in New York for 10 days. Today he confers with 11 foreign ministers, chief among them the 6 from Central America and the foreign minister from Spain. Rusk probably will offer the Franco government something to renew the pact which permits the United States to operate from air and naval bases in Spain. It runs out this week. Spain wants an upgrade as an ally and some more modern military equipment. Rusk spoke yesterday at the opening of the new Church Center for the United Nations. It was built by Methodists and is administered by the National Council of Churches. Secretary General U Thant and Ambassador Adlai Stevenson heard Rusk say, "We must work at taking the small steps that could lead to solving the big problems." Atop the new center is a $35,000 lounge dedicated to the memory of former UN leader Dag Hammarskjöld. It was just a little over 2 years ago that Hammarskjöld flew to his death on a UN peace mission to the Congo. His plane crashed in the desolate country of northern Rhodesia. There, near Ndola, a memorial to Hammarskjöld was erected 1 year ago, with promises that a remembrance garden would be planted. Today, last year's wreaths decay, overgrowth, and weeds mark the place where the plane crashed. In Ndola, Hammarskjöld's memory is fading. Here in New York, a Staten Island ferry boat collided with a tanker in New York Harbor early today. The ferry boat captain managed to get his craft into a slip on Staten Island where it sank. All passengers got off safely, but a deckhand was injured. Foreign Aid Administrator David Bell says, "We are taking another look at our aid to Indonesia because of last week's burning of the British Embassy in Jakarta. The embassy compound was sacked and set afire by Indonesian mobs angry over the new Federation of Malaysia supported by the British. No lives were lost, but damage was heavy, and British businessmen will press claims. Courageous action by guards prevented a disaster, and the British promptly began moving all their dependents out of Jakarta. Mothers and children crowded bus terminals for trips to waiting Royal Air Force planes to take them out. Hundreds left. Only vital diplomatic personnel remained behind. The Sukarno government seized British companies to continue production, and now a government-sponsored Crush Malaysia Action Group has been formed to prevent riots like that which destroyed the British embassy, but to continue hostility toward Malaysia. New York's Governor Rockefeller and his wife leave today for a 12-day tour of Europe. Ahead of them, Rome, London, Berlin, Bonn, Brussels, and Paris. That is today's news.